There's a surge of female candidates running for state and federal offices across the country this year. Many have been inspired by the Trump presidency and a desire to bring more female representation into government. Among those is Seyma Farooqui, running for District 96 in Broward County. The district encompasses Parkland, Coconut Creek, Margate, Pompano Beach, and Coral Springs. If Seyma is elected, she would become the first Muslim ever to be elected in the Florida State House. As a longtime Coconut Creek resident and a Geek Squad employee, she wants to bring the concerns of her constituents to Tallahassee from a unique perspective. She's facing a tough uphill battle against incumbent Kristen Jacobs. She has a sizable lead in fundraising and in polling data. Now, we spoke with Farooqui last week about her desire to run for office and the primary issues in her campaign.
First of all, thank you very much for having me and giving me this opportunity of speaking to my listeners and speak about that, what my platform is and why I'm running. As a member of the community and living in my district for 13 years, I have felt that I have grasped the issues that the community is facing, and the current political climate change is basically brings an important need for all Americans to have representation in the government.
You know, I wondered, what was the moment, that actual moment when you decided this is what you want to do? Where were you at the time? What was it that launched the idea?
In February, when I heard this accident or this tragedy in Parkland at school, when that happened, that actually just changed everything. And that has actually motivated me to run for the office and do something, because I just want to make my community, my children, safe. So that was the moment that has changed everything in February. And then I have looked into running, and from February to April, that I was just trying to see that what can I do and how I can bring the change.
So I had read when you started canvassing, you had to go door to door and introduce yourself to people and let them know, but you had to gain signatures. And so I was just curious, like, what was that experience like? I mean, you're going around telling people, I'm running for your district. Oh, and by the way, I'm Muslim. But I mean, what was the experience like?
I mean, I don't really have to tell that I'm Muslim, because I am very visible in my beliefs, and I wear this headscarf. So, but that was not really an issue for people to accept me at their doors. Of course, there were a few interactions that really didn't go well, but for most part, it was very welcoming. And when I introduced as a common person, not a politician, that I would be running for the office, people were very happy to see someone from them, like someone who's living in the community and visibly, and they see me around. So they were very happy to see me. And it was very welcoming.
And I mean, every now and then, did you run into anybody who had a problem with that? That have a problem with you?
Yes, of course. Like, not a problem with me, like specifically, but of course, some people don't really welcome because maybe for the lack of knowledge, but they have probably never met a Muslim. But whatever they see on the media and they read in newspapers, probably that might have just put them in a perception that maybe someone who wears hijab or look different might not be a good fit for this position. But I was able to talk to them, and some people really turned around, and they were very happy. And at the end, they actually signed my petition.
And yeah, so you get to talk to people. Did you feel like you educated some people or maybe changed their mind?
Yes, I was able to talk to people and then really change their minds. And one interaction I still remember, and it was at the parking in Publix, where he asked me why he should be signing that petition and what I would be doing for the community. And he asked me questions about health care and the gun safety and, of course, Second Amendment and all that. And at the end, like, it was a 15, 20 minutes conversation. And at the end, he said, okay, you sold yourself, and okay, here is it. And then he signed my petition. And he was a Republican, because the person who signed my petition, I explained to him, like, it does not have to be with a party affiliation. Anyone can sign who is registered voter in the district. So at the end, he was able, he signed my petition, basically. So I was able to talk to him and change his perception.
My understanding, there are no Republicans running in this district.
No, they're not. No.
Let's talk about the platform. Let's talk about the issues that are most important to you. I mean, when you talk to people, what do you say to them about what you are going to represent them and what are the biggest issues for you?
Basically, the people living in the district, they're small business owners. Their kids go to the schools because the schools are pretty good in my district. They are well-graded schools, basically. So they're very concerned about education. School safety is the biggest issue since Parkland is in my district. So basically, those are the issues, and healthcare, of course, but mostly education is a very important issue for them.
Let's talk about one of the big things. Of course, your district includes Parkland, and this, of course, is the center of school safety and the gun legislation debate going on right now in the state, in the nation. The governor did sign new gun legislation this past session. Do you feel that was a good law?
When it's really bundled into one legislation, like certain clause, I would not really agree with, but certain things are very effective in sense of like the ban on assault weapon or the age limit increase. So those are the good part of the legislation, but the arming teachers, most people are not really happy about that, or maybe increasing the police or making schools as kind of like police stations. Students are not happy about that because they want to go to school, not the prisons.
Let me come back real quickly. So part of that law, yes, they increased the age, the age limit for buying a weapon. There was no assault on or no ban on assault weapons. Do you want a ban on assault weapons?
It should be a little bit more I would say a little bit more specifications, because those weapons, they are war-graded weapons. It should not be in the city limits or in hands of citizens. So I would really suggest the ban on assault weapon.
Now, you talked about also schools and making schools safer. If you could do one thing right now to make schools safer, what would that be?
I would increase the security, like metal detectors in the school. Students should have some sort of channels to go and talk to their about their problems. So increasing mental health service counselors would be biggest initiative that I would like to take, because all the problems start when students don't find ways of getting information, and they just go to open sources like internet or somewhere to get that information, and they might not get the right information. So if they would have more counselors available at school and more teachers, they can engage them for in extracurricular activities. So that might help them to just go and speak about their issues, and that might help. And of course, teachers are not really paid well in Florida public schools. So I would like to see an increase on their pays so they can take more interest in their jobs, and they would just feel pride. And of course, if they don't have problems on their own plate, then they would be able to perform better at their jobs.
Let me come back to something, though. You said you don't want schools to be like prisons. Mm-hmm. Now, we've heard this from some of the students because of that extra security. Mm-hmm. But having a metal detector could make it feel like, I mean, a little bit more kind of tight. And that's almost a little bit of some students may not like that.
We have to keep them safe somehow. If one or the other way that if we, like when we go to airports, like we do have the hospitals and certain other places have the metal detectors. So it's not really that it would sound like a prison, but it would just bring some sort of security. And of course, students demand the security. So that would be one of the things that I don't think they would mind it.
You're a mother.
I am a mother.
So what do you hear from your kids about? I mean, did you talk to them about how safe or unsafe the school is? What do they tell you?
They are like a very concerned when they were like my daughter when she was in school. They really was they really talk about how bullying is the very major issue at the school. So they sometimes don't feel very safe at school, even though if it's not weapons or guns, that there are other factors. They really make students feel unsafe at schools. And again, that would just come back to the same thing that when we have guidance counselors and other staff available to talk to them, then we can just really handle that situation as well.
You're listening to a previous conversation that we had with Seema Farooqui. She's one of the candidates running for Florida's District 96. If she's elected, she would be the first female Muslim American in Tallahassee. She's facing Democratic incumbent Kristen Jacobs. Let's return to that conversation. You talk about teachers and that they're underpaid. Now, Miami-Dade and Palm Beach County schools, they're putting a referendum on the ballot for November to raise property taxes to get raises for teachers. If the voters say no, then how do you try and find more money for teachers? Because if they say no, that means they don't want to pay more taxes. Then what?
If it's a very like high increase in taxes, they would not like to increase the taxes in their property tax. But of course, the student safety is the biggest concern for all the parents in Dade, Palm Beach, and Broward as well. So I don't think that it would be a problem, but we have to keep a balance that how much raise it's going to be in the property tax. So if not, then we should find, like I would try to find some other ways of getting money back to the school. And of course, it's funding is available, but we just have to find resources that how we can get just money back.
I mean, do you, if somebody came to you and said, listen, we're going to raise your taxes, it's going to be for teacher pay and school security. You okay with that?
Yes, I would be okay with that. But it depends that how much raise that it's going to be. And the funds would be really allocated towards the safety. And it has to be really allocated for the purpose that they're taking taxes or raising taxes.
All right. If Republicans stay in control of the House and Senate, how do you get anything done as a Democrat? What do you do to reach out and start working with them and then convince them that maybe your ideas are something they should consider?
So I don't think it's a partisan issue because kids are kids. Republicans have kids. Democrats have kids. Even NPAs have kids. Everyone has kids. So the kids' safety and their prosperity is the common concern for all the parents. So I think this is the issue that everyone would be willing to talk about because everyone wants to keep their children safe.
What about other issues? Climate change issues. You know, you talk about businesses and, you know, there is a difference between Democrats and Republicans on business legislation that impacts small business owners. I mean, so many other issues, there is a divide. So how do you reach out? If you have, let's say you have a Republican governor as well, you know, come November, how do you reach across to the other side and say, we have to get some stuff done?
It's all about communication, building bridges, and getting your point out and explain. And I'm pretty sure when you explain well, people listen and they really pay attention and they would be on the same page. As I told you, that a recent experience that my interaction with that person to sign the petition. So I'm pretty sure that I would be able to build bridges and getting my point across.
I want to ask you one other thing, too, real quickly, is anti-discrimination laws. This is another issue that's important for you. There are anti-discrimination laws right now on the books in Florida, but what are you proposing? Do we need something more, or is it more about enforcement?
It's more about enforcement, and of course, that should have been revised a little bit because I don't feel that it is it should be allowable for a business to discriminate against someone who looks different or practices different. Like the recent example of that cake baker, like maker. I think that we should be able to enforce those anti-discrimination laws and practice as well. So everyone feel welcome. And
you, I mean, as again, as a Muslim, I'm wondering, like, your personal experiences. You know, what is it, your personal experience, that this is an important issue for you, that you want to see changed?
Yes, like when at schools, when kids have been called different names, and there isn't if there's nothing that that was done towards that, or any kind of like measures take towards that, I would really like to see those anti-discrimination laws effective and really enforced. So at schools and workplaces.
We talk about discrimination, on the issue of discrimination. And again, you're a Muslim running for office. There are more Muslims now running nationally for office than we've seen in a long time. But I'm just wondering, how often did you run into people who take issue with that fact? You know, and do you think it's going to be a problem for you?
On most part, people do see a dire need for different communities to be represented in the government. So they are really encouraging other communities to run for the office as well. So I don't see a problem with that, but mostly people are encouraging different communities, and especially Muslim community, to go ahead and run for the offices.
Now, currently, I mean, you have a day job.
Yes.
Like a lot of people, you currently work at the Geek Squad, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you want to focus more on STEM education and training in the area. Where do you see the lack right now, and how would you fix that?
I think in our current education system, I don't think we have enough STEM schools, like magnet schools or STEM programs. So I would like to see that program in public school, so students can get those that training that's required to get that kind of jobs. So I would like to see the magnet program would be introduced in more magnet schools.
You don't have any experience in government, though, right?
No, I don't. It's my first time running.
How do you tell people then that you are qualified for this job? What makes you qualified?
My passion, my passion, and my willingness to solve the problems. And there's always a first time for everything. And sometimes when we see that there's no experience, maybe the new brain or new ideas would bring better perspective, and maybe the new person who's running for office or trying to do anything would probably bring new ideas to the table.
So you have the opportunity right now. You're talking to the voters of District 96. You know, they may be asking, why should I vote for you? What do you tell them right now? This is your opportunity. What do you say to them as to what is going to make you the best representative for them?
So one thing I would like to tell my listeners and people who would be voting for me in my district, that I would always be approachable. I don't live in my district part-time. I live there all the time. I work there. And I would be quitting my job after that. So this job would be my only job as a representative. So I would always be approachable. And even on my campaign flyers, I have my personal cell phone number. I don't have a campaign phone number or campaign PO box number. I have my residential address and have my personal cell phone number. So that makes me very approachable to people if they have any issues. They really don't have to go to the office. They can always approach me on my cell phone and my my address.
That's, I mean, you don't see that often. You don't see people letting in, like, this is where I live. This is my home number. Just call me. I mean, that's, you know, how did you feel about, you know, putting yourself out there like that?
That makes me more transparent to people that I'm not a politician and I'm not running for office to have a political career. I'm really running for like to, for this position to solve the problems. So for me to put out my address or my phone number, it just brings more transparency that I am available, the real person, so you can always reach out to me.
And of course, not having, you know, that staff in the office and all that stuff. I mean, do you have, because one of the things about campaigning is the money. Is that a challenge for you, having the money to be able to run?
Money plays a big role, but it really doesn't play that big. People vote, money doesn't. So if you reach out to people and talk to them, so if I would be sending flyers out, I need money to send flyers out. But if I'm knocking on the doors and meeting with people, that really does not require any money. It just requires time and dedication. So I have knocked on the doors in rain and shine. And when people saw me at their doors in the rain, they just asked me, oh, why you're doing this in the rain? I said, yeah, I could have a cup of coffee and I can enjoy in my backyard. But that really is very important to me to go and reach out to everyone. So they were very happy and they really see that I'm genuine and I'm there. So that really gives me a sense of happiness that, okay.
And again, that is Saima Faruqi running for District 96 against incumbent Kristen Jacobs. She's also the vice president of the Coconut Creek Democratic Club and board member of the Broward Democratic Environmental Caucus. You're going to hear our conversation with Representative Jacobs later this week.